You could have saved yourself 30 times in prison if you would have just known. John MacArthur figured it out, Brother Yun. God has never once spoken to John MacArthur outside the Word of God. Because, see, God is no longer, the Holy Spirit is retired. God's got a great retirement program, and it started with the Holy Spirit in the 66th book of the Bible. Once the revelation was written, he got his retirement and pension kicked in for Holy Spirit. A.B. Simpson says, he who would deny the personal guidance of the Holy Spirit in order that he might honor the Word of God as our only guide must dishonor that other word of promise. That's what this man is doing. He's dishonoring the other word of promise. You get to do your own will, Yun. Why the need to go through all that suffering? 30 some odd prisons. Brother Yun, I'm going to just pass on to you the good advice of Brother Aaron Frampton, who figured it out over in the Sola Scriptura camp when he gave up trying to live this foolish, ridiculous Christian life that you and I are living, believing that the living God still speaks a living word and that the Holy Spirit still has a role to play and that he didn't go to retirement once he wrote the Word of God. I'm going to give you the good advice of a Sola Scriptura man here who figured it out, who could have helped us out a long time ago if we would have just heeded the call. We could have saved ourselves a lot of cross-carrying. And then they don't want to just throw away and say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. They don't want to say, I don't believe in God anymore. They don't want to say, I don't believe in God's word anymore. So what do? They cut the heart of the living God out of it. And they go back to the word which killeth rather than the spirit which gives life. They miss the living God behind the living word, and they cut out the living, because to live means to follow, and to follow means to suffer. Michael Commentary, Proverbs 18:13 says to us that he who speaks before hearing the whole matter, this is to his folly and to his shame. I'd like to let you know that if you have a tender heart, this message is most likely going to offend you, or you will find offensive in some part. I would like to let you know that I highly recommend, if you're going to listen to this message at all, that you listen to it in its entirety before you make your final judgment. This is an open public rebuke where I name an individual first and last name because he first publicly commented on a very important matter. I'm making this recording to my wife, Lisa. God is having me share it today publicly. It is a public rebuke, not just to this individual, any more than was the Apostate Bride of Christ series, a public rebuke to my previous spouse alone for her apostasy into Eastern mysticism and falling away from her once pure and sincere devotion to Christ. That was simply a symbol of a much larger problem and a warning in one person's life for the rest of us in the body of Christ who could take ear to hear. The same can be said today. I'm going to be passionate at times. I'm going to be righteously indignant. And I want you to hear all of it because it is the Spirit of Jesus Christ flipping over change tables. This is a very much desperately needed to hear message for anyone and everyone on this planet that professes to take upon the name of Jesus Christ on their lips, reckoning him before others as Lord, and yet who do not live as if he truly is. May God bless, may God encourage, may God rebuke, and may God correct many who desperately need to hear this message before it is too late, and you find yourself like the multitudes standing before Jesus Christ hearing, "Flee from me, I never knew you." May God bless and do good to you as you listen to this message in its entirety. End of commentary. I have read two times now, May 31st morning. This is a perfect spiritual illustration for what you and I are going through, sweetheart. you think about sandwiched in between this reading and in between the message that I made on the mountain a few days ago called Wasting Our Lives for Christ. How remarkable is the timing of this? Today is May 31st for me. I'm sorry, actually today's June 1st, so this would have been yesterday's. And when you look at that message I made a few days ago about how the Lord gave me these insights about how we are wasting our life if God does not come through for us either now or in the end, we've wasted our life. You're wasting your life waiting for me, and we're wasting our life waiting for Jesus. We're wasting it. That's what it looks like. But faith, the eyes of faith see we're investing our life. We're not wasting it. So I want you to see this May 31st morning, and I want you to see the connection here because this is really quite extraordinary. Also, I was just mentioning it's sandwiched in between this message this gentleman sent us yesterday saying, my goodness, what an exhausting way to live the Christian life. And I tried to live it like this and it almost ruined my life. And it's just about doing good deeds and blah, 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 blah. And you know, look at the results you're getting in your life. And now you're on your third marriage and all this stuff. And so you can see here's a gentleman who at one point was in bondage to do the Lord's will. And when he got tired of the suffering and of the waiting, he has freed himself from the bondage of the Lord. And then he's gone over to the Sola Scriptura camp, which is basically a dead Christian form. It has no power. It's all intellect. It's all head. And to make the religion seem well, you go do good deeds. But it's not actually listening to the Lord, hearing the Lord, and doing his personal will in your life. And remember how many times I've mentioned that this is the much easier way to live Christianity, is to just take hold of the reins yourself. You become Lord and you put on the form of Christianity rather than the Lord of Christ. And this man now then takes a stab at my story, and of course God allows this. He allows there to be enough misunderstanding, enough scandal, enough perplexity, kind of like that reading from Sparks yesterday, so that it gives people an excuse, honey, it's a stumbling block. My life becomes a stumbling block. You see how the Lord makes the true path a stumbling block, honey. Jesus Christ himself, the foundation of, the author of the narrow path faith, he's a stumbling block. God intentionally allowed there to be things that are incredibly scandalous, very difficult, and completely contrary to the way good religious people think that the Son of God or the Messiah would live. These are a stumbling block, such that the only way you can know, as Peter says, when asked, who do you say that I am? You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And Peter says, this was not revealed to you. Rather, Jesus says to Peter, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You see, only the Father in heaven can reveal to us that Jesus is the Messiah, that I am his true servant, that we are on the true path to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And God intentionally allows there to be stumbling blocks in the path. I've known this. I've seen this in my life. I had this revelation on the trail a few months back where I saw God intentionally put stumbling blocks. And it keeps people who are coming to God with presumption, coming to God in pretense, coming to God for the bread, the miracle they saw, and wanted more food. It keeps them from being able to follow him, sweetheart. It's incredible if you look at this, that God intentionally, throughout all of Scripture, leaves all these stumbling blocks. So you look at my life, if you don't have spiritual eyes to see, even though God is doing everything in my life in precise dates and times, and you see all these 777-day events and the 666s and the 555 events and the 40s and 7 events and the perfect match to Genesis chapter 7 and 8, it doesn't matter. God has left enough stumbling block. It's exactly like with Jesus. Even though you saw him walk on water, even though you saw him raise the dead, even though you saw him cure leprosy, even though you saw him cast out devils, heal the sick,
even though you saw him unstop deaf ears, loose mute tongues, it doesn't matter. You stumble over all the other things that Jesus Christ does. Do you see this, honey? You see this? How God could have made it so much easier for people to follow Jesus Christ and see that he's truly the Son of God. He doesn't. God is a God of intentional stumbling blocks so that good religious people trip and fall even though they maintain the religion. They look at what God is doing in my life. It's terribly sad. I used to be so frustrated about it. I'm like, God, if you wanted more people to believe, he doesn't. He doesn't want more people to believe, sweetheart. He wants exactly those who are appointed for eternal life to believe. And if you're appointed, you can believe. If you're not, you will fall away. It is absolutely incredible. It's devastating to me. I look at this guy's email yesterday, his comment, and immediately I know how terribly deceived this man is. And he thinks he's doing the right thing, and he doesn't realize how many people I've seen over time fall away from this path of total devotion to the Lord, waiting upon him, hearing from him, suffering to do his will, suffering to wait his will, suffering contradictions, suffering long periods of waiting, suffering the things of his will in your life that make you completely misunderstood and look foolish to other people around. Remember the comment that I said yesterday? You are either going to be a fool in this life or you're going to be a fool at the judgment seat of Christ. There is no escaping. You either have to look like a fool in this life to a certain number of people, or you're going to look like a fool in front of everybody when you stand at the front of Jesus Christ. I could actually turn this into a doctrine. If your Christianity does not look foolish, if you haven't been accused at some point of being a fool, like pretty well, not just like in passing from some atheist at work, but even by Christians, if they don't think you're a fool, it's one level of faith to have the world and the unbelievers and the atheists think you're a fool. But it's another level of faith and another level of being sure of your salvation, having a solid assurance of your inheritance when you know that other people in the name of Christ have called you a fool. That's how you can really know. Otherwise, you will find out you are a fool at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, this is because it's a stumbling block. You have to choose. You want your comfort now or later? You want your reward now or later? You want to find your life now or lose your life now? If you lose your life now, you'll find it. This whole idea that you can have this easy, non-excruciating, non-confusing, comfort Christian life is absolutely ridiculous. It is a terrible deception. I wanted to reply to this man's comment and say, my friend, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to beg you to read George Mueller's autobiography and then try to talk to yourself about some exhausting Christianity that you've escaped because you're no longer listening to and doing the will of God and you found the Sola Scriptura camp. You go and read the autobiography. It's really incredible how often you will not hear the Sola Scriptura camp quote people who truly live the faith. If one thing I can say about the Sola Scriptura camp is they really only point to the people who preached the faith, not lived it. If you look at my life as an example, I'm living it and then preaching it. But they point to a lot of these people who are intellects for God. I know that he has his intellects. But they don't ever really point to a Hudson Taylor or a George Mueller who actually were champions of living it. You see, they're more interested in the easier Christianity that you can massage intellectually, that you can turn into a form of entertainment, that you can use to puff yourself up because of how much you know and how much God must be pleased with you because you know. You see this, honey? What an absolute terrible deception. And meanwhile, here we are looking like little foolish kids, suffering our way through the gospel, spending our lives and our days extravagantly, wasting them, if you will, for the sake of keeping Jesus Christ Lord, and we look foolish. We look like we don't fit because we don't. So I want to read something to you. Okay, so this is Mark 14, Jesus anointed at Bethany. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. That means Jesus is 2 days away from dying. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. And clearly God was allowing this to happen. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly, think of this man's comment. What an exhausting way to live the Christian life. I'm so glad I got out of this. I almost ruined my life doing this. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? Maybe this man is coming to our channel and asking why this waste of perfume. They said it could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. Sweetheart, do you realize how much this man's comment matches exactly the insight God's given me with this? He talked about stop living such an exhausting way before God and instead do good deeds. Do you see exactly what this passage is saying to us? Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages. Why are you guys sitting around waiting for this marriage and waiting on God and going through all this hard stuff? You could get rid of that and start doing good deeds. And the money given to the poor, and they rebuked her harshly. You know what? I want to read the guy's comment. I want you to see the connection to this. This is remarkable. Such an exhausting way to live the Christian life, constantly trying to read the mind of God outside his word. Never mind the fact that Paul says, I only know that in every city I go to, the Holy Spirit warns me. Never mind the entire book of the heavenly man, Brother Yuen, God is constantly speaking to him with the word, but outside of his word. Never mind that God is constantly speaking to us using this providence to guide us to his word, and then exactly what he says comes to true when we are patient to wait and suffer God's perfect appointed time. Never mind the fact that because I've been able to hear God, quote, outside of his word, as this man would say, every single event in my life in the last 20 years that's of any significance has been done precisely in a biblical period of time because I was able to hear God, quote, outside his word. Never mind all that. Never mind what the implications are that if I'm able to hear God well enough to hit a 777 day six times, a 555 day period, I think two times, a 5 month, 5 year, 5 month, 5 day once, countless instances of 21 days, countless instances of 40 and 7, seven instances now of 9 months to the day. Never mind the fact that I've been able to hear God well enough to be involved and move when he said move, stop when he said stop, such these results all come on a precise day that I find out afterwards. Never mind what the implications are of that, that if I'm able to hear God in order to have dates and times hit perfectly and precisely, that also means I'm able to hear God in what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching, what I'm recording in my journal entries, what journal entries I'm sharing with other people, such that when I am moved away from one project to another and God abruptly stops me and says, share this, and I tell you in advance, watch this, sweetheart, when I put this message up, people are going to say, I really needed to hear this. What perfect timing. I told you this in advance because I saw how abruptly God changed my course. And then what happened? 50% of the people in the comment section, the first thing I saw on that message was I needed to hear this. And I was not even going to put the message up, sweetheart. How incredible is that? It was the message about prisoners of hope. I wasn't even going to put that message up. And this guy comes along and says, constantly trying to read the mind of God outside of his word, it nearly destroyed mine. See, if you have not fully surrendered your will, and you come to God in any pretense with your fingers behind your back crossed, asking God to bless your plans, not truly sold out, humbled, surrendered, abandoned your will, it will destroy your life. You'll end up one of these charismatic nutcases. That's not me. Why isn't my life nearly destroyed? My circumstances are. So why don't we go to 2 Corinthians 11 and say, oh, dear Aaron, this brother, dear Aaron, I really wish we could have given your comment to Brother Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. I mean, this guy, man, what an exhausting Christian life. Constantly on the run, being struck down by bandits, being, you know, suffering from his own people, 40 lashes minus one, five times, hungry, without clothes, without sleep, constantly on the run, shipwrecked at sea, night and day, swimming in the ocean, put in this prison and that prison, betrayed by his own countrymen, on the run from bandits. Wow, it's really a shame. What an exhausting way to live the Christian life, Brother Paul. I really wish you could have heard from Brother Aaron Frampton. He really has the key. He really could have helped you straighten out your life. Oh man, all you disciples who got your heads cut off, what an exhausting way to live the Christian life. Moses, 40 years on the backside of the desert. David, 13 years on the run from a demon-possessed king. Joseph, 20 years en route from a great dream that says you'll be exalted into a pit, forsaken and betrayed by all of your family members, sold into slavery, falsely accused into a dungeon. Man, Joseph, what an exhausting way to live the Christian life. Absolutely crazy. Apostle John sitting on the island of Patmos waiting to hear, this vision from Jesus Christ, suffering intently. God, what an exhausting way to live the Christian life. Brother Yun, you'd think he would have learned his lesson by now. My goodness gracious, what an exhausting way to live your life. It's so much easier. All you have to do is just go listen to John MacArthur, fill your head with a bunch of intellectual-based theology, become a fathead for God, and, basically do Christianity on your own level. Conform Christianity to you. Oh, learn all the doctrines, but, talk about them and share them and pass them around. Conform Christianity to you. Make it a religious form, not about an actual Lord that you follow, that you have to wait upon, that you have to be in bondage to for his promises, in bondage to for his written word and his rhema revealed word. And never mind the suffering that goes on in between the times of you waiting for him to fulfill his word, waiting for him to give you his next command, constantly having to wait for him to tell you what's next. Forget about being in bondage to Jesus. Just go be in bondage to the religion and rule it yourself. Aaron, there's no need to do this. I mean, look at how absolutely pathetic. What an incredible deception this is. It nearly destroyed my life. Nowhere in the Bible are we instructed to spend every waking hour sifting our thought life for imperceptible messages from God. Really? What did Paul tell Timothy? Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. No, Paul, Timothy's not to reflect on what you're saying. He's not to sit around and waste his time waiting for the Lord to give him some insight, something like that. Well, that's just foolish, Paul. What are you talking about? Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10, and find out what pleases the Lord. Oh, you don't have to do that. That takes so much time. You don't have to actually sit around and wait and try to find out what pleases the Lord. That's exhausting. You could ruin your life having to sit around finding out what pleases the Lord. Waiting to do his will, ridiculous. Just turn Christianity into a doctrine learn all these things, espouse them as if you perhaps originated them, and just go do some good deeds and practice Christianity. Don't practice making Jesus a living God, a true Lord whom you have to actually live with and have a relationship with. Forget about this.
John 8:47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Well, you don't have to sit around trying to hear God. I mean, God's already spoken. He doesn't speak anymore. This is the lie, sweetheart, that God no longer speaks outside of his word. See, listen, once you can shut God up, you get to determine the nature of the relationship. You get to determine when you go to the Bible, how often you go to the Bible, what you read in the Bible. You see, if you shut down God's speaking voice and you say that he no longer speaks outside of Scripture, what a brilliant way to put God, if it were possible, into a wheelchair, to handicap him, to cut him off. When you confine the living Spirit of God only to the Scripture and you say he no longer speaks, commands, or distributes his will outside of that, basically, what you've done is you're confining God to the Word, and you get to determine the relationship. You get to dictate the means, the ways, and the times. You get to have your comfortable little Bible study. You get to decide, today I'm just going to read John. I do that, but I'm also listening every day for God to speak to me, and God speaks to me outside the Scripture. Do you see how foolish and deceived this thinking is? It allows me to just simply go and read the Bible at my will, which is good. You should do that. But that is not the only part of a relationship with God. Jesus said in John 10 that his sheep know his voice. And look at this quote that I happen to have on this exact passage of Scripture, John 8:47. And this is what this man is guilty of. First of all, I want to read a little bit further. Listen to what this guy says. What you do is almost like reading tea leaves and borders on mysticism. Okay, so that's exactly what meant. That's exactly what Paul did when he was warned every city he went to that the Holy Spirit was warning him that prison and hardships awaited for him, beatings. He was reading tea leaves and he was a mystic. This is what Madame Guyot did when she was led of the Spirit in all the different ways she was. This is exactly what Brother Yun does. He's a tea leaf reader. And he's a mystic. This is how he knew how to go here, go there, leave the prison, go here, get on this airplane, do all this. Do you see how this handicaps God? This is an abomination to God. Listen to this. God has given us his word, and it is sufficient, all capital letters, exclamation mark. You obsess, all capital letters, over yourself, all capital letters, brother. Don't call me brother when you're not living by the Holy Spirit of God and you think that God has cut himself off to the word. We are to live simply, work and feed our families, and obey his commandments and love others. Our reward is on the other side when we are glorified in Christ. Stop inserting yourself into the Bible. It's not about you. Never mind Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God. You are not an apostle. The canon of Scripture is closed. You see this? Okay, so what he's saying is the canon of Scripture is closed, meaning God no longer speaks outside of it. God wants us to be saved and walk in the Spirit. How in the world can you walk in the Spirit if the Spirit is not still speaking? How can you walk in it? You can't. You can only walk in the Word. He's contradicting himself all over the place. He doesn't care if we grow barley or corn. How do you know? You see this? He doesn't care if we grow barley or corn. And yet, if you look in the Scripture, and you see how often God would give them commands about what to plant, what not to plant, what to eat when, what not to eat when, and then to turn around and say, God says, and listen, I realize that God doesn't care what shoes I wear today, but you cannot say God doesn't care about, this is a complete dismissal of God's ability to have a personal guidance in your life. This is a satanic deception that says, I get to live Christianity how I want. God wants me to be saved. God wants me to be good. He wants me to do good to others. And that's all true. But God also wants you to do his will. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And there are, when you look up the will of God,
there are instances where the understanding of the will of God is personal. It was God's will to do this, God's will for us to do this. It was not God's will for us to go to Asia. How do you know what God's will is if you have dismissed his speaking voice? If we drive a red car or a blue, of course he doesn't care about these things, but he cares about what messages that I put out and what messages I don't. He cares about when I put the messages out and how can I get that information from just the Bible? I can't. I have to be able to hear from the Spirit of God. The Bible doesn't tell me when to move forward to New Zealand. The Bible didn't tell me whether or not I was supposed to sell my tiny house. You foolish person. The Bible didn't tell me I'm supposed to pray for a $40,000 fleece. The Bible didn't tell me exactly 777 days to move such that my tiny house would land in Auckland, New Zealand, 777 days after the first day of land prep. The Bible didn't tell me exactly what day I needed to go tell Lisa you're to be my wife. What an unbelievable, foolish life this person is preaching. The Bible didn't tell me that I was supposed to send off my bags on March 31st such that it was exactly 7 months and 7 days, matching precisely how God dealt with Brother Yun and the Bible and the book that I had just read. The Bible didn't tell me all that I needed to hear in order to have seven events end in 9 months to the day. Seven, now six events, 777 days. You can't find that information and insight in the Bible. Look at this, sweetheart. What an absolute lie this guy is saying. Listen to this. If it's not outside God's commandments and it doesn't violate your conscience, all capital letters, do what you want. What an absolute lie. What a lie. Watch this, honey. Listen to this quote from John 8:47. Actually, just from A.B. Simpson, and I put it on John 8:47. The Holy Spirit is the true guide of the saint, not the Bible. The Bible is a part of it, but the Holy Spirit is the living spirit behind the word. The Holy Spirit gives you the living guidance to guide you to the word. And the true leader of the church, he is our wonderful counselor, our unerring friend. That's why, honey, unerring, he doesn't make any errors. That's why when I obey him, the timing is so precise that it hits these precise dates and times. God is trying to show. And yet, the reason why people don't want to follow our example, honey, is because it's the way of the cross. It's the way of bondage to Jesus as Lord. It's the way of the narrow path. It's the way of losing your life to find it. It's the way of hating your life. Look at this. It nearly destroyed mine. That's exactly what he says. Such an exhausting way to live the Christian life, constantly trying to read the mind of God outside of his word. What an absolute cop-out. This guy is going to stand before Jesus Christ. He's going to go to hell and he's going to hear the words, I told you plainly, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Let me continue on in this example. He who would deny the personal guidance of the Holy Spirit, this man, Aaron Frampton, is an example. Who denies the personal guidance of the Holy Spirit. Numerous people that have contacted me over the years who once tried to follow what they believe to be the providence and guidance of God, and they gave up when circumstances contradicted, when Satan antagonized, when time passed without anything happened and they suffered, they gave up. It is so much easier, I've made many messages about this, to live Christianity on your own terms, deciding what you want to read, when you want to read, how much of it you want to read, what you want to obey today. That is not having Jesus Christ as Lord. That is you being the Lord over Christianity and your life. A.B. Simpson says, he who would deny the personal guidance of the Holy Spirit in order that he might honor the Word of God as our only guide must dishonor that other word of promise. That's what this man is doing. He's dishonoring the other word of promise, that his sheep shall know his voice, and that his listening and obedient children shall hear a voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, Isaiah 30:20. Honey, listen to this. This is a quote from Madame Guillot.
My heart had a language which was carried on without the sounds of words, understood of him as he understands the language of the word, which speaks incessantly in the innermost recesses of the soul. Oh, sacred language. See, this person doesn't know anything about this language. This person thinks Madame Guillot is delusional, thinks A.B. Simpson is delusional, thinks A.W. Tozer is delusional, thinks Brother Yun is delusional, thinks George Mueller is delusional. Experience only gives the comprehension of it. Let not any think it a barren language and effect of the mere imagination. Far different. It is the silent expression of the word in the soul. As he never ceases to speak, so he never ceases to operate. If people once came to know the operations of the Lord in souls wholly resigned to his guiding, it would fill them with reverential admiration and awe. Sweetheart, that's what we have. You and I are souls completely resigned to his guiding. Baby, if you're going to be guided by the Holy Spirit, it is going to cost you everything. I tell you the truth, this man is such a fool. He quit. He gave up. He may have been at one time on the right path, and he gave up. Many people give up because it gets hard. Sweetheart, many are called, few are chosen. Lord, Lord, are only a few going to be saved? The disciples cry out. John 6:66, from this time on, many of Jesus' disciples turned and no longer followed him. They didn't stop following religion. They didn't stop following the scriptures. They didn't stop following the word of God. They stopped following the Lord because it was hard. Jesus turns to the other disciples and says, you too do not want to go away, do you? And they said, Lord, to whom else would we follow? You have the words which lead to eternal life. Sweetheart, this is an incredibly important message, baby. Do you see how people will start with God and they will face circumstances that contradict what they've hoped for and what they have believed that God has said to them, and they don't wait long enough and they give up? And then they don't want to just throw away and say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. They don't want to say, I don't believe in God anymore. They don't want to say, I don't believe in God's word anymore. So what do? They cut the heart of the living God out of it. And they go back to the word which killeth rather than the spirit which gives life. They miss the living God behind the living word, and they cut out the living, because to live means to follow, and to follow means to suffer. It breaks my heart when I think, I mean, I'm angry at this person. I have indignation. I want to flip over change tables and say, you fool. And not just to him, but to anybody. I'm trying to lay down an example, and I'm trying to tell people, if you're going to follow the living God, the living Christ, anybody can read the Bible and pick and choose. Anybody can create a buffet religion. Today I'll have a little bit of this. Today I'll have a little bit of that. A scoop of this and a dollop of this. Anybody can do that. But to follow the living Lord and to not know today what may be the Lord's will, oh, that's a bondage that very few people can handle. It's why A.W. Tozer said, before you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, make sure you know what you're asking for. See, this guy, Aaron, he wouldn't have any idea what Tozer means when he warns people in the Spirit Life, Spirit-Filled Life book. He warns people, before you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, make sure you know what you're asking. Are you truly wanting for a spirit to come in and take over every part of your life? You see, this guy wouldn't even be able to understand what Tozer means when he says that, sweetheart, because all he knows of is the dead word that he gets to go administer out of his own will, his own time, his own prerogative, his own understanding, his own will. He's imposing his will on God rather than coming to God and saying, oh my God in heaven, the living God in heaven, you must have a living purpose and a living guidance and a speaking voice that still today will tell me, go to the left, go to the right,
don't go here, don't go there. You must have a plan and a purpose for my life. And it's not going to be in the word of God in such a way that it's just static. It must be that there's a way you can lead me to it in a dynamic way, to tell me and lead me and guide me for your plan for our time and for my life. And he's not willing to suffer to do this. These people who give God this sloppy intellectual belief that says, I know you exist. Baby, do you realize this is when Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven. You don't get into heaven being close. He had all the word of God. He had reverence for God. He had fear of God. He had love of God. He had all the commandments of Moses. And Jesus tells him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. The rich young ruler, he claims to have kept all the commandments since he was a young person, but he's not willing to follow the personal guidance of the holy living God to him. Go and sell. It's not written in scripture anywhere in the law of Moses that you need to go do what Jesus just commanded him. So if we go by this man's guidance, well, then that guy doesn't need to listen to Jesus. All he needs to do is go pick and choose the law of Moses that day, what he wants to follow, and he's good with God. But the living Christ, who is the living Holy Spirit, comes to us and says, I have a plan for you, rich young ruler, today for you specifically. What I need you to do, I need you to go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. You see, that is costly. That is picking up your cross, honey. That man did not go to heaven. He didn't do the will of God. Oh, he's doing the will of Moses. He's not doing the will of Christ. He's still under the law of Moses, and there's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth and the commandments that lead to life, my words are spirit and they are life, come from Jesus Christ. And you have to be in bondage. Okay, how would this guy ever explain what it means to be a bond servant to Jesus Christ? He's not a bond servant to Jesus Christ. He might as well be a student sitting in the class of a professor and saying, I believe the professor exists. I believe his words, but I'm not having to obey them. I'm just here to store them up. He's not a bond servant. This man is not a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bond servant is... What does that mean, a bondservant? That you just believe Jesus existed and you assent to the idea that his word is the living word and you're gonna read it and believe it? This is what professing Christians are gonna find out. You're going to hell. You believed in the word, but not in the living God of the living word. You weren't willing to suffer to do his will. You look at Paul's life being guided here and directed here by the Spirit. When did that stop? It didn't stop. If you look at Brother Yun's life, Brother Yun is absolute a smack in the face. So if you don't believe me, because I haven't gotten to the part where my story reconciles beautifully yet, and you can see, wow, all that stuff was crazy, but clearly God was with the guy or he wouldn't have ended up where he did. Well, we can look at Brother Yun's life, and if you looked at him while he was at the stage that I'm in, you would have said, this guy's an idiot. They did. His own wife wanted to divorce him. Everybody's like, just leave the guy. He's an idiot. But when God reconciles it, you can see this man was walking in accord with the living Spirit's living plan and personal guidance for his life. He did not dismiss the guidance of the Holy Spirit in an effort to try to honor the word alone. All these sola scriptura people are going to stand before God and they are going to be shocked. Honey, I think some of the most brilliant people who possess the greatest number of doctrines and who understood the word of God, and they're going to be shocked when they stand before Jesus and they'll say, why did you amass all this head knowledge of my word and gut the spirit out of it? Why did you gut my personal guidance out? Why did you, at the expense of protecting the word, deny my will therein, my personal will? People are missing this. It's a deception. Honey, the word of God is a means to an end. It's not the end. This is what Tozer had to try to explain to people. God had already shown this to me. And when I heard him say this in The Pursuit of God, he makes this point in The Pursuit of God that the word of God is a means to an end. It is not the end. all of these commandments are not the end. They are the beginning. They are to build a foundation. They are to make straight paths for the Lord, the living Lord. Man, I tell you what, here's what's wrong with this guy's teaching and what he's gotten us from the Sola Scriptura camp, because he gave up. I want to make sure I press this point clear. The reason why this guy gave up is because it was hard. It's a cross-carrying, life-denying, life-losing, world-hating, excruciating path of bondage to the Lord as a bond slave to do his will. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out. 1 John 2:17, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. Matthew 7:21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of God. And then he goes on to explain putting those words into practice. No doubt about it. But part of putting those words into practice is being poor in spirit and meek. And part of being meek means to prefer God's will over your own. And if you don't know what God's will and plan and purpose for you is, the part of the body, and you're not one of his sheep who can hear personal guidance, how in the world can you serve God in any meaningful way beyond simply reciting? You might as well have never been born. If all you can do is just sit and open up the Bible and read it to somebody, we don't need you. The Bible is already here, and there's been millions of people who've already read it for us. If God can't point to you through a personal relationship and emphasize a part of the word and give you guidance of which to preach the word and insight on the word, we don't need you. You're not needed. So what these people will do, sweetheart, is now They can't not just listen to my teaching and then just say, oh, well, I've chosen a different path. You now have to try to shoot this messenger. You have to try to dismiss. Look at the, you're now on your third wife. Do you think this is a good witness to non-believers? Is this version of the Christian walk what destroyed peace, faith? Repent, get a job, humble yourself, and take care of your family. As if, sweetheart, am I taking care of my family? Yes or no? You see this? Where does this come from? Take care of my family. Where does this come from? What about Peter? He doesn't even have the money to pay a temple tax. Why don't we say to him, is this the version of Christian walk that maybe destroyed some of the people's faith that were once following you, Peter? Repent, get a job, humble yourself, and take care of your own family, Peter. Why the need to follow Jesus and go fishing to find a ridiculous coin in the fish's mouth? Why then when you get to the temple gates and you see the man sitting there, or rather at the city gates, and you see him sitting there begging, why do you not have silver nor gold, Peter? You know something? This is because this is a terrible version of the Christian walk and this is destroying some people's faith. Why not repent, Peter? Get a job, humble yourself, take care of your family, and then you'd have some money to give to that poor beggar, and you won't have to say to him, silver nor gold, neither do I have. Jesus, you're homeless? Jesus, Luke 8, you're having to take money from Susan and those other women? Why not repent, get a job, humble yourself, and take care of your family, Jesus? You don't have hardly any money to help take care of your family, Brother Yun. You're constantly broke. Your family barely has enough food to eat. Well, Brother Yun, I just want to tell you something. This brother Aaron Frampton, who's been following the ministry here for years and tried to follow and follow the actual personal will of God for his life, he tried it for a while, and when the going got tough, he got going. And he quit, and he gave up. And now he comes back, and he's trying to give me some light. He has found the path. He found his life. Rather than losing it, he found his life. Rather than doing the will of God, he now does his own will in the name of God. And Brother Yun, the reason why you were not able to provide for your family like this, and you were in jail after jail after jail after jail. I mean, Brother Yun, what a ridiculous life. I mean, you're a stupid idiot, Brother Yun. You call this Christianity? Do you think this is a good witness to all the non-believers around you that you're trying to minister to? I mean, Brother Aaron Frampton has it figured out. Yun, you're a foolish, stupid idiot. You know how many people you caused to go to hell, Brother Yun, because you were just holding on to doing God's will and believing that God still was guiding you outside of his word? And Brother Yun, you're in 30 different prisons. You're some kind of a foolish idiot. And you're leaving your wife without you all this time, and she's having to struggle to put enough rice on the plate to fill her belly and get it to stop making noises at her? You needed to have Brother Aaron Frampton's insight, Yun. If you would have known this guy a couple of years ago, he could have helped you. He's got some advice for you. It doesn't matter what you do with your life, Yun. If it's not outside of God's, you know, moral law and commandments, and it doesn't violate your conscience, Yun, all you needed to do was to do what you want. You're chasing your own tail on a scavenger hunt, trying to go around and serve all these Chinese Christians, and you're just, and look at where it's led you. This is what he says. You're chasing your own tail. Your perpetual scavenger hunt. And where has it led you, Brother Yun? I'm going to ask you the same question that this man was wise enough to ask me. It led you into 30 prisons. You were separated. Watch this. He says this, separated from the children you should be raising, Brother Yun, and pursuing your third wife. And of course, you were just missing your wife all those years. What was the point of even getting married, Brother Yun? Do you think this is a good witness to non-believers, Brother Yun? Doing this, what you're doing, following Jesus, constantly being beat down, ending up in one prison, one difficult situation after another, one electric baton in your mouth after another, one being drugged through the street after another. Never mind the miracles that you saw along the way. You're a fool. You're an idiot. Look at what you did to the believers around you. You caused them to stumble. All you had to do was to have good behavior, read the Bible, and you get to do your own will, as Brother Aaron Frampton says here. You get to do your own will, Yun. Why the need to go through all that suffering? 30 some odd prisons. Brother Yun, I'm going to just pass on to you the good advice of Brother Aaron Frampton, who figured it out over in the Sola Scriptura camp when he gave up trying to live this foolish, ridiculous Christian life that you and I are living, believing that the living God still speaks a living word and that the Holy Spirit still has a role to play and that he didn't go to retirement once he wrote the word of God. I'm going to give you the good advice of a Sola Scriptura man here who figured it out, who could have helped us out a long time ago if we would have just heeded the call. We could have saved ourselves a lot of cross-carrying, a lot of anguish, a lot of suffering. We could have freed ourselves from being bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could have freed ourselves from the misunderstanding we had about the need to do the Lord's will. And all we needed to do was to do this, Brother Yun, quote, repent. Get a job, humble yourself, Brother Yun, and take care of your family. You have been a fool, Brother Yun. And I just want you to know that I'm doing this to you as a service from this gentleman who put this comment. He's been following my ministry for a while. It's taken me a while to get this good message that he finally learned, and I'm passing it on to you, Brother Yun. So you really should tear up that book, The Heavenly Man. You should throw away all the testimonies, and you should throw away the millions of Christians who ultimately were affected through your story. And let's burn it all up because you were an idiot thinking that that was Jesus and his living spirit that was telling you, go to this city, don't go to this city, stay put, leave this jail, go here, do this, lay your hands on that person, pray for this person, do this, stop, don't do this, give money to this person, do this. All that guidance that you got and all the times that you'd be crying out to God and God spoke to you, that was all a lie, Yun. That wasn't really God speaking to you because God has already spoken. Brother Yun, the canon of Scripture is completely closed. Didn't you listen to John MacArthur's teachings? Didn't you hear the radio interview that John MacArthur did years ago, Brother Yun? You could have saved yourself 30 times in prison if you would have just known. John MacArthur figured it out, Brother Yun. God has never once spoken to John MacArthur outside the Word of God. Because, see, God is no longer, the Holy Spirit is retired. God's got a great retirement program, and it started with the Holy Spirit in the 66th book of the Bible. Once the revelation was written, he got his retirement and pension kicked in for Holy Spirit. He's no longer a living God who speaks a living word. In fact, when Paul told Timothy to sit and he would get insight from God about what he was saying to him, that God would give him some insight, this was not true. This is not true because Holy Spirit was already in early retirement. He hadn't had the retirement party yet, but he was already in early retirement. He had already stopped speaking. You know, the canon of Scripture is now closed, and there's no need. So, you know, goodness gracious, I could have saved Brother George Mueller a lot of time as well if I would have had Aaron Frampton's. Man, and I think of all the suffering that Hudson Taylor went through as well, having to listen to and do the will of God, never mind all the ministries throughout the 2,000 years of Christian history, never mind Madame Guillou and her unbelievable story and all the guidance God gave to her, never mind A.B. Simpson, never mind A.B. Tozer, never mind Andrew Murray. If only these people would have known that God no longer speaks, the canon of Scripture is closed, and you get to choose what you want to wear, you get to choose what kind of car you want to drive. Right, I agree, but it goes way beyond that. You get to choose what you want to read today in the Bible, you get to choose what you want to obey today in the Bible, you get to choose what you want to preach, you get to choose when you want to preach it, you get to choose what kind of denomination you want to be in, you get to choose what kind of denomination you're going to preach in, you get to choose all kinds of stuff. As long as it doesn't violate your conscience and it doesn't violate the Word of God, there is no will of God. The Holy Spirit is in retirement. He's on the beach sipping heavenly pina coladas, and he's just like, hey, go for it, kid. I did all the hard work. The Word is there. Go make of it what you will. Take on the form. Don't worry about following my will for your life. Sola Scriptura, man. Sola Scriptura, the Word alone, the Word alone. Just go to that Word, okay? I know there's a few verses that say that the Word is dead and the Word that killeth, and it's the Spirit that gives life, but don't worry about me. I put everything I had into the Word, and I'm enjoying my retirement. Don't worry about getting any Word or guidance from me. Don't worry that there'll be any illuminated insight from the Word or that I have some sort of a plan. Don't mind the fact that I may need to actually give you specific guidance in order to go a certain direction, move a certain place, take a certain job, quit a certain job, marry a certain person, stay put, move forward on certain things in life. Forget all that. If it doesn't violate your conscience, just do what you want. Be your own Lord and use Christianity that I've laid down as a safeguard. Put yourself in the system and you do Christianity and be Lord of Christianity rather than allowing Jesus Christ to be Lord of you in your life, living the cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating Christian life. I about fell out of the back of my chair that I wasn't even sitting in when I heard John MacArthur say on the radio, God has never spoken to me once outside the Word of God. And when this guy, Justin Peter, says, if you want to hear God speak, read the Word. If you want to hear him speak audibly, read it out loud. What a foolish thing to say. You take that teaching and you lay that, and you just humble yourself. If you're just humble enough as a John MacArthur to go take everything you've ever thought and learned and all this sola scriptura nonsense. Sola scriptura is great. The Word of God alone. It was originally meant the Word of God, not all the nonsense that the Catholic Church was coming up with. Not the Council of Trent. Not the traditions of the church. That's what it was meant. It was not meant to kill the speaking voice of the Holy Spirit, but that's what it did. People took a good doctrine and they took it to an extreme. You could take John 3:16 to an extreme. For God so loved the world that anyone who believes in him will not perish. You can take that to an extreme and say, hey man, I believed. Yes, you fool. But Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, believing in me and not do what I say? They took the sola scriptura to an extreme. And they don't believe that God speaks, that he's the living word, that you'll hear a voice behind you telling you this is the way to go. Walk in it. They don't believe John 10, that my sheep know my voice. They think his voice is still trapped. They think his voice is on repeat. They think his voice is a broken record, just saying the same thing over and over again. This word, that it's no longer living, it's no longer active. What about the living and active part? Okay, we can say it's living, but if it's not active, what does active mean? Active is 2,000 years of Christian history proof to us This thing is not just about the John MacArthur approach that you sit and study it and then go do good deeds and you go back and sit and study it and go do good deeds and you sit and study it and you talk about it and you're in awe of it and you go do good deeds, but that there's a living will implied in this for your life. It is absolutely tragic. And listen, this is the thing. People don't want to pay this cost, sweetheart. It's a cost to follow Jesus Christ like this. When you look at Brother Yun's life and you look how much that man suffered to do God's will. When you read Madame Guillot. People are not willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ, and so they decide, I'm going to do Christianity rather than allowing Christianity to do me. Makes me so angry. Goodness gracious, it makes me so angry. Makes me terribly angry, sweetheart. I'm fighting like everything I have. I'm fighting to try to get people to see, yes, you're going to suffer hell if you're going to follow Jesus. What does the scripture say? Unless you suffer for him, you will not be glorified with him. Romans 8:17, Philippians 1:29. We have to follow his example. We have to be poured out. It's not just for Paul. It's not just for Jesus. It's so pathetic. These people are going to stand and Jesus is going to say, you hijacked my words and you enjoyed peace of mind and you claimed a right to sit with me in eternity by taking my word and administering it how you wanted, when you wanted, in what way you wanted. But you ignored me, the living Lord and the living God behind the word. You ignored the fact that you were bought with a price, that you're not your own, that you no longer get to choose to do what you want. You ignored Galatians 2:20 that I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself. What does that mean? Faith just to believe that he exists? No, faith that he has a living plan for Paul's life and my life. That's the, he says, follow my example as I follow Christ. What is his example? Following Christ. He's not following the word. He's following the living Christ. The word does not tell us any directions about where Paul was supposed to go. The word reflects what God told Paul to go. The word doesn't tell us what Madame Guillot was supposed to go and do and say. The word was used to give her the guidance. It doesn't map out the plan. It's taken out, living and active, and applied to her life. It's the same with Brother Yun's life. When Brother Yun would be in the back of the car bleeding out, and crying out, God, you know, take my soul, take my spirit. The word would be given to him in a living way. He didn't have a Bible in his hands. He wasn't in a Bible study at John MacArthur's church. God would speak a living word to him like he speaks a living word to you and I and give him, this is my will, this is my voice for you right now. It breaks my heart to know that people are hijacked. And I'm having to suffer to do the will of God. And I'm trying so hard to get people to believe me that God allows stumbling blocks to be in the way. I'm trying so hard to get people to believe and follow my example and be willing to suffer to do the will of God. And then they just say, ah, forget the suffering. I'm just going to go do a Bible study. To hell with your Bible study. You're going to go to hell doing a Bible study. It doesn't say, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do Bible studies in your name? And many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only you does Bible studies in my name or who memorizes all the doctrines or goes to a sola scriptura church. I'm so angry at people that walk away. This person has walked away, sweetheart. They've fallen away from grace. They've fallen away from the living word of God. They fell away. They turned away and no longer follow Jesus. They turn away and no longer follow Jesus, and now they just follow the word. You're no better off than a Pharisee. Oh, it makes me angry. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm very sorry, sweetheart, that I've gotten so upset. I just have to get this out. It's like what Jeremiah says. It's the word is in my bones like a fire. It's in my bones like a fire. Woe to me if I do not. I want so bad for people to see that you have to do the will of the Lord. He's called Lord for a reason. And you have to suffer, even if it means that all he wants you to do is sit around and pray and suffer for his name. You have to do his will. You can't just hijack his religion. You can't just make it into a bunch of doctrines. And God isn't just doing this through people like me or Madam Gill or A.B. Simpson or any of the people that I've named. He's not just doing it through them. We're to follow their example. Sweetheart, this is why people in our family think that we're nuts. I'm going to tell you the answer, sweetheart. It's one reason, and one reason only. They don't want to suffer. They don't want to suffer. They are not willing to suffer. This man writes, "It nearly destroyed mine." What does Jesus say? He's talking about his life. If anyone saves his life, he will lose it. If anyone loses his life, sweetheart, this guy is violating one of the most fundamental, foundational teachings of Jesus Christ. The original name of my story, Trusting God in the Storm, was losing everything to find it all. Paul says, having nothing yet possessing everything. Consider dead but being alive, basically. Jesus said, if anyone loves their life in this life, they will lose it. If you save your life, you will lose it. If you find your life, you will lose it. This man found his life. And Jesus was inviting him to lose his life. And what does that mean? It may mean physically, but very rarely. More, it means losing your will, your right to start every day. I mean, baby, look at how God wrestles with me to do a message. Look at how I can't even choose what messages I want to do when I want to do them. And if I try, he'll stop me. This man doesn't understand the struggle that I've gone through even in the last 2 months and how God has so specifically given me guidance on what messages to do and what messages not to do. That's not in the Bible. The Holy Spirit has to give me that guidance. He doesn't understand this. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know that I've told you in advance. Baby, watch this. When I put this message out, people are going to say, oh, what incredible timing, or oh, I desperately needed to hear this because I was able to, again, tell you, God has told me, don't do this message, do this one. And I didn't want to, and I had to deny myself. I had to lose my life. I had to have my morning ruined. It nearly destroyed mine. I had to have my morning destroyed. My plans were torn up and destroyed that morning. That's destroying of my life in order to do God's. I need to finish this, sweetheart. I'm so sorry I've made this so long. Baby, I want you to see that the Lord had led me to this passage. I want to just finish this up. God help me. This is what people do not want to do. They do not want to do anything extravagant. So here we are back in Mark 14, and this woman is pouring out this jar of expensive perfume, and those people present are saying to her indignantly, why this waste of perfume? So Christians today, why this waste of your life, man? If it doesn't violate the moral commandments of God and it doesn't violate your conscience, do what you want, man. Why this waste? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. This is what's happened here, okay? Watch this. Look at what Jesus says. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing. You know something? Jesus will say this to a man like this. He will say, leave him alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. Jesus could say, good deeds you'll always have. And you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Okay, now watch this, sweetheart. If you go to May 31st, Morning of Streams, listen to this. A woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume and made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Mark 14:3. The very nature of God is extravagance. How many sunrises and sunsets does God make? Gloriously wonderful, O my Lord, art thou. Sunset faints after sunset into the night. How many flowers and birds, how many ineffable beauties all over the world, lavish desert blossoms that only his eyes see. I think of the amazing creatures in the sea that for thousands of years only God ever saw. I think of the amazing birds of paradise over there in Papua New Guinea that they only discovered on video, you know, in the last, let's say 50 years or so. Amazing creatures that only God has ever been able to see for all these years, right? Mary's act was one of spontaneous extravagance. Mary of Bethany revealed in her act of extravagant devotion that the unconscious sympathy of her life was with Jesus Christ. Quote, she did what she could. Verse 8, to the absolute limit of what a human can do. It was impossible to do more. Sweetheart, here's the point I wanted to make before I had any idea I was going down the road I went. You are doing what you can. I just made that message a couple of days ago about us wasting our life for Jesus Christ and you wasting your life for me. So it seems until God comes through, right? It looks like we're all wasting our life for Jesus. She was wasting this perfume, pouring it out for Jesus. Now she has been commended. She's, as he would say, the only thing that Jesus Christ ever commended was this act of Mary's. And he said, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her, because in the anointing of our Lord, he saw an exact illustration of what he himself was about to do. Sweetheart, you are pouring out yourself in a figure, in a type for the end times bride. You're making an example and you're pouring yourself out, honey. You're expending your time. You're expending your life. You're expending your desires. You're expending your emotions. You're expending your comforts. You are suffering to do the will of God. You are pouring yourself out, sweetheart, and you are a sweet perfume. You're being poured out like a drink offering, sweetheart, like a sacrifice. You see this, sweetheart? He goes on and says, God shattered the life of his own son to save the world. Are we prepared to pour out our lives for him? Sweetheart, a person who's not willing to suffer and wait in order to do the will of God is not somebody who's willing to pour out their lives for him. They're willing to acknowledge him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. They're willing to memorize doctrines. They're willing to live decently moral lives. They're willing to attend church in his name, to memorize verses in his name, to do acts in his name, but they're not willing to do his will and allow him to be Lord. They're not willing to be poured out in the form of a bondservant and say, Lord, your wish is my command. Do with me as you see fit. You see, our Lord is carried beyond himself with joy when he sees any of us doing what Mary of Bethany did. And sweetheart, he asked this question, have I ever produced in the heart of the Lord, Jesus, what Mary of Bethany produced. Quote, she did what she could to the absolute limit. I have not done what I could until I have done the same. Oswald Chambers. Is this precious ointment poured on the feet of the master ever wasted? See, this guy is telling us we're wasting our life. We're pouring out all this expensive perfume of our time, our will, our comforts. He has a lot more comforts in his life than we do. Remember how many times we've talked about all the people in the name of Christian that are just today, they're getting up to plan their vacation. They're planning their wedding. They're planning their next career move. They're planning what they're going to spend their finances on. They're planning whether or not they're going to have a child, how many children they're going to have. They're planning this, they're planning that. And they're just going on about their business. Oh, they're relatively moral. They're following the moral laws of God. They're not corrupt. They're not lying, cheating, stealing, etc. They're going to church. They're good people, but they are not at all bondservants to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not at all doing the will of God. They're not at all people that look like they've been bought at a price. They're doing their own will, living their own lives. You cannot look at their life and match up. If anyone saves his life, he will lose it. If anyone does not hate his life, he will lose it. If anyone who tries to, if anyone loves his life, he will lose it. You cannot match their life up to this. You cannot match up cross carrying. You cannot match up denial of self. You cannot match up if anyone chooses to do the will of God in their life. You understand? They've hijacked it. They take the word and they add it and what it seems to point to and stand for, eternal salvation and the blessing of God on their life, and they add it like a cherry on top. And their whole life is dictated by them. This man and others would say, you and I are wasting our life. It looks like we are wasting our life. It looks like Jesus wasted his life. It looks like Brother Yun wasted his life. To the nature, it looks like you have wasted your life. Madame Guillot, last 7 years of her life in a dungeon, suffering the effects of poison. It looks like she wasted her life. Why do that? Why suffer like that? All the time that Brother George Mueller had to spend praying about and concerning himself about when the next money was going to come in to take care of the orphans. What a waste of life. He should have never done that. He should have just repented. He should have just gotten a job. He should have just humbled himself and taken care of his own family. What a waste, putting yourself in the bondage of the Lord's will like that. Sweetheart, it's a very different path. The path they are on is not the path of true Christianity. You have not made Jesus as Lord. In Romans 10, it says, confessing Jesus as Lord. And Jesus says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. What does it mean that you can say Jesus is Lord with your lips, but what would it mean to say it in your heart, but to obey him and to make him the living Lord, not the Lord trapped in the word 2,000 years ago? Sweetheart, you are a woman of noble character who fears the Lord and is to be praised. You keep going. You keep suffering, sweetheart. You are being poured out. Your sacrifice is honorable before the Lord. Have I ever produced in the heart of the Lord, Jesus, what Mary of Bethany has produced? Sweetheart, I tell you as somebody who has the Spirit of Christ in me, I tell you as an anointed minister of the Lord, that you have produced in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ what Mary of Bethany has produced, sweetheart. And quite honestly, not to take anything away from Mary, but what you're pouring out is far more valuable than what Mary poured out. That was valuable at the time. It serves as a physical illustration. And Mary no doubt poured out other things. She poured out her life. I'm not trying to put you above Mary or anything like that or take away from Mary. Not at all. I'm just saying that what we are all called to pour out in response to the example of Mary, is to pour out the perfume of our living life, our living will, our daily goals, our life ambitions, our life comforts, our life's pleasures, our lifetime. These things are far more valuable than perfume of any kind. That just happens to represent something that was of great value at that time. You see, you're pouring out your life and waiting by faith for the will of God to come to pass. I commend you, and your example is incredible. And many people are going to follow your example of suffering and will hold on to doing the will of God in their life because of your example, and they will bring glory to God through your example. Baby, I love you so much. Let us continue. As I stated to you yesterday, everyone is going to be a fool. There's not a purpose. There's not a person that's ever been born who will not be a fool. You will either be a fool in this life in the eyes of good Christians and in the eyes of unbelievers, or you will be a fool when you stand before Jesus Christ. Baby, let us commit to being a fool all the way to the end in this life. I love you more than I'll ever be able to put into words, and you know it. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being a godly woman. Thank you so much for following the example of Christ and humbling yourself before the word of Christ in my life and ministry. I love you so much, baby. I can't wait to talk to you. Bye, my love.